Hey guys, Mike the Birdman Dodd here for MeowBox.com. You guys know how much I love my fur babies, Ayla, Logan, and Dr. Wily, and this is something that is definitely up their alley. MeowBox.com is a subscription box service for cats that features new kinds of treats, food, and some really cool new toys that will entertain them for hours. MeowBox.com also supports local animal and rescue shelters. For every MeowBox bought, they give a can of food to a shelter cat on your behalf. There are multiple subscription plans available, but you can get 10% off your first subscription by using promo code GEEK10. Go to MeowBox.com and give your kitties something they'll love. Be sure to check them out on Twitter and Instagram under MeowBox. Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to the Nerd News Network. Today is Friday, October 9th, 2015. Happy Canadian Thanksgiving. If you happen to be north of the border this weekend, hopefully you are having a safe and fun time with family, friends, or whoever you choose to spend this holiday with. Hopefully you're enjoying turkey and gravy and stuffing and pumpkin pie and the company of people you can only stand to see a couple times a year. I know I'm looking forward to that. In fact, actually, this Thanksgiving will be kind of different because my grandmother-in-law, I guess, she passed away earlier this year. So this will be the first Thanksgiving without her. And it's going to be a little odd because she always had something interesting or kind of off color to say. So it's going to be weird not having that. So, So anyway, this show is brought to you by MeowBox.com. Don't forget to use the promo code from the commercial so you can get 10% off your first subscription order. But also got to send a shout out to our sponsors such as offworlddesigns.com. Use promo code GEEKSRULE and you can get 10% off your entire order. And that's where I get all my really cool Pathfinder t-shirts for the role-playing game. And as far as I know, I think they're the official shirt supplier for Paizo. Either way, they're pretty kick-ass. You should get some. All right, so got to start off the show with a huge thank you. This past week, I got a package from Ken. Ken is a big fan of the show. I've known him for a couple of years. And every year, he sends me usually something for Christmas and my birthday. This year was no different. He sent me a movie on Blu-ray, which he think he described it as, what if Ridley Scott directed Inception? That's what I want to say he said. It's called Automatica or something. And he got me the Funko Pop of the DeLorean with Marty McFly in it, which I think is amazingly cool. I've always wanted that particular pop figure. So that's pretty awesome. I'm really happy for that. So thank you, Ken, so much for your generosity on my birthday. I turned 34 in just a little over 11 days. Shit, man. I'm getting old, I guess. 1 year closer to death and a midlife crisis, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, what are we going to be talking about this week? Well, we're not going to talk about the big elephant in the room, and that's the New York Comic Con, because I'm not there. But I'm sure there'll be lots of news to talk about next week when we see some of the announcements and some of the stuff that comes out of that. So we'll hold off on talking most of that this week. What are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about my newest fascination and how you can probably get a hold of it. A famous actor who we thought was all retired turns on a pretty significant cameo. What you can do with, let me see, 1,700 pieces of 10 millimeter cardboard. We're also going to talk about an article that I found kind of interesting involving one of my favorite planets in the solar system. And we're going to continue with space news. The fact that a planet killer asteroid is going to be swinging through our neighborhood a lot sooner than you may think. And I'll tease what's coming up on the show over the weekend. I should have two shows posted. We'll keep talking about that in just a minute. Okay, so as you guys know, I've been posting a lot of pictures on my Facebook and Instagram, which is at Birdman Dodd, of Lego Dimensions. I'm a huge fan of the sets. Haven't gotten to play the game yet. The plan is to start that probably tomorrow, as I'm just finishing Rock Band 4 right now. And my thoughts on that game may surprise you. But I'm starting to get back into Lego, and one of the sets that I want to get is Doctor Who. And Doctor Who is supposed to have a new set coming out, or its first set, rather, called, let me see, I want to see what it's called. This is based off an idea that was submitted back in 2014 called Doctor Who and Companions. This was based earlier this year. Sorry, I thought it was last year. But what this is you get a replica of the TARDIS, or rather you get the TARDIS door, which splits open. You have the top of the TARDIS, you have the control console, the 12th Doctor Peter Capaldi, Jenna Coleman's Clara Oswald, and two Daleks. This thing looks amazeballs. I'm not sure. I'm going to see how many pieces this thing is. It doesn't say on the front of the box, but you also looks like you get a Matt Smith and a Weeping Angel as well. Yes, yes, you do. So that's pretty kick-ass. And Matt Smith comes with a fez, which I think is actually kind of funny. But yeah, that's pretty awesome. I'm really looking forward to this. So this comes out on December 1st, rather. And it's supposed to retail for about $60 USD, or £59 if you happen to be in the UK. I know I had a friend of mine on Facebook who says he could get this set for me for like half price. I can get that in the Ecto-1. So maybe I'll do that for December, because like I said, for some reason I'm really enjoying Lego right now, and I don't have a whole shit ton of room for it, but if I only collected certain sets like this, I'd like to get this, the Ghostbuster Ecto-1, and I would love to get the DeLorean. I think my friend Steve Saylor has the DeLorean, but I'm not 100% sure. But still, that's pretty awesome. We're getting Doctor Who Lego. Hopefully there'll be more. Or even if they offered each Doctor and his TARDIS, I think that'd be pretty kick-ass. Even if it was like a Lego subscription thing, I think that would be pretty amazing. And people would pay it. I'm looking forward to the Lego Dimensions set, which comes out on November 3rd, which has the 12th Doctor, the TARDIS, K-9, and then there's a fun pack coming out later, which has a Dalek and I think a Cyberman in it. So that'll be pretty kick-ass. So hopefully I'll have my review of Lego Dimensions in the middle of next week, because I've got Emmett, Bad Cop from the Lego Movie. I've got Homer and his car and the TV set from Simpsons. Marty, the DeLorean, and the hoverboard, and the starter set, which was Batman, Wild Style, and Gandalf. So, yeah. All right. So, moving on to my next story. This is not kind of surprising, actually. So, Rick Moranis, you may remember him from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Little Shop of Horrors, and most famously, Louis Tully in Ghostbusters. He was basically the guy who became Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer. And so a lot of people thought he retired a long time ago after his wife died of breast cancer, unfortunately, and he took a break to help raise his kids. So he did an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and it turns out he was offered a cameo role in Paul Feig's Ghostbusters, which stars Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Melissa McCarthy, and Leslie Jones. And he says this because he turned it down. I wish them well. I hope it's terrific, but it just makes no sense to me. Why would I do just one day of shooting on something that I did 30 years ago? Moranis went on to confirm that despite rumblings that he's completely retired from film and television work, if the right project came along, he would do it. He says, I took a break, which turned into a longer break, but I'm interested in anything I would find interesting. I still get the occasional query about a film or television role, and as soon as one comes along that piques my interest, I'll probably do it. But Ghostbusters didn't appeal to me. That's kind of unfortunate, because like he says, it's one day of shooting, it's probably, he'd be gone like a day, probably make a couple grand, or at least have his hotel and flight paid for. I think that would have been a nice nod to have Rick Moranis back. But understandably, he just doesn't want to do it. And I guess being an actor and a performer, you're also an artist. So you don't not necessarily want to keep doing the same thing over and over again unless you get typecast. Or it doesn't appeal to you artistically. So I get that. That's kind of disappointing, though, that we couldn't have got Rick Moranis in the new Ghostbusters movie, which I'm still tremendously looking forward to. Like I've mentioned, I can't wait to see what the merchandising is going to be like for this. So I really hope we get a really kick-ass Ecto-1 toy. All right, so moving on to my next thing. Speaking of Ecto-1, I'm going to talk about cars for a minute. Let me say this. As far as I know, cars run on magic, and anybody who can fix them is a magician or a wizard of some kind. So there's this really cool thing that was put out by the clever folks at Laserworks and Scale and Models. They took the original CAD files of a Lexus IS and built a full-scale replica out of corrugated cardboard. I'm actually going to post a link to this because it's nuts. And the main reason I just want to talk about this is because it's kind of cool. So they took the file and using a laser cutter, sliced up 1,710-millimeter pieces that were glued together. Now, Lexus says every cardboard piece was given a reference number to ensure that this thing was built right and in the right order. Now, when you built this thing, each piece that was glued had to set for 10 minutes before it could be moved. In total, the project took about 3 months to complete. So every detail in this, from the wheels to the ridges in the leather seats to the smooth lines on the car, are all made from cardboard. It's kind of nuts. Now, the really cool thing is it has an electric motor inside. You can drive this thing. Obviously, you ain't taking this out on the highway, but that's incredibly, frankly, fucking cool that you can do this with, like, laser cutter and 3D printing and all sorts of other really, really, really neat things. And, hell, one of the things I've been saying for a while, it's amazing what you can do with 3D printing. I could see this totally making a big deal in the toy markets, simply because now you can print replica weapons for, like, your Ninja Turtles or G.I. Joes or Star Wars figures, or even parts if stuff breaks off, say, a Transformer. As long as you can design the, like, CAD file, you can print it. Hell, there's even food printers now, so Star Trek, here we come. Okay, so this is yet another article that I just kind of want to talk about. So it was 40 years ago this month that we first saw the surface of Venus, which is basically a high-pressure acid death trap, which is the planet you can most often see in the sky as the sun sets. So anyway, the Soviet Union sent a bunch of spacecraft there, namely Venera 9, which sent the first surface images back. So there's a researcher at NASA, Jeffrey Landis. He says that he's, now what this guy is, he's a researcher in advanced concepts and at the NASA Glenn Research Center, who would like to see us go back to Venus at some point. Now, he has one really cool concept. It's called Zephyr, which is a wheeled rover that would go across Venus using winds. Now, the really important thing to know about this is Venus is actually incredibly hard to land on, and he actually says this. He says, the surface is hotter than a conventional oven. One key challenge facing robotic explorers is conventional silicon electronics will not work. Silicon degrades in the acidic hot environment because there are so many electrons from the atmosphere flowing across the band gap across which electric current flows. He suggests a couple of different ways around it. One idea might be silicon carbide, which is a semiconductor that has a high energy band gap and performs really well at high temperatures. Or you could refrigerate the electronics and leave the rest of the spacecraft exposed to the elements, as long as the spacecraft was made of a tough, light material, such as a titanium pressure shell. One of the other really, really cool ideas is they're talking about avoiding the surface entirely, and they could explore the atmosphere with airships. And I think there's even something about the atmosphere that high up. I don't want to say it's breathable, but it's more tolerable. So if you could have an airship that could sit about 35 miles or 50 kilometers above the surface, the pressure there is more Earth-like. So you could have, like, airships flying over this like, planet. So Landis also goes on to say, we've learned so much about Mars by sending rovers there. Venus is full of mysteries no matter what altitude one studies. The upper atmosphere is full of ultraviolet-absorbing particles, but nobody knows exactly what those particles are. Some scientists speculate there could even be microbes, a form of life on Venus. That's amazing! And like I said, I always found it really weird that we've never gone back. Now, there was one... there was a Japanese probe that was supposed to orbit the planet back in 2010. Unfortunately, it shot past Venus due to engine problems. There's a possibility that it may come back in the Venus orbit in December. Now, NASA's also considering two Venus missions, but we'll have to see what happens with that. Like I said, I find Venus incredibly interesting. Mostly because one of the video games I play is Destiny, and somehow Venus is now this wet terrestrial jungle world. And I've actually read a couple of books where Venus was terraformed and just it became a lot more Earth-like. And I don't know, I just that idea intrigues me incredibly. Plus, I think it'd be really cool to watch an orbiter or like a Land Rover melt on Venus in like real time or something. I don't know. That's just me being kind of stupid, but I do think that's actually kind of awesome. So like I said, hopefully we go back in a little bit less than 40 years, so I'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Speaking of space, we're going to keep going with that. So, hey, how would you like to know that you're going to die tomorrow? I know, right? So, anyway, tomorrow, a mile-and-a-half asteroid number 86666, Jesus Christ, that's scary, is supposed to zoom by the Earth. Now, NASA's Near Earth Observation is watching this thing. Now, the trajectory calculations that this thing will pass by safely at nearly 16 million miles. Because a rock this big, if in the unlikely event it did hit the Earth, would pretty much cause a global extinction event. In essence, we're fucked. Now, Paul Chodas, he's the manager of NASA's Near-Earth Observation, has said repeatedly there would be no Earth impact anytime in the foreseeable future. Foreseeable being the word. And it's important to know, just because there's so much of the sky we can see and so much we can't see. Only a very small percentage of it is actually monitored. And sometimes we don't catch some of these things. We've had asteroids pass incredibly close by to Earth that are huge, that wouldn't necessarily cause a planetary disaster, but definitely on a regional scale. Like, shit gonna get fucked up, for lack of a better phrase. So I find that interesting. Now, there actually is a link, and I'm once again gonna post this as well, that you can track this asteroid in real time, if you so desire. I'm also going to post a link to the Lego Doctor Who, if you want to see a little bit more about that. So anyway, like I was mentioning, we got a couple things going on this weekend. Big announcement. I didn't mention this off the top of the show, because I'm going to force you to listen to me. I get to interview Alan fucking Tudyk tomorrow. That's right, Wash and Firefly, Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball, and so many other sci-fi projects and other movies. You found them hilarious, and I'm so looking forward to this. Basically, chance email, happened to reach the right person at the right time, and I got Alan Tudyk for like 20 minutes tomorrow. So, I'm pretty excited for that. I just finished watching 6 of the 7 episodes for Con Man, which is his web series, which was the Indiegogo that was launched earlier this year. So that'll be a lot of fun to actually get to sit down and talk about. So look for that interview probably on Monday or Tuesday. Also coming up on the show, tomorrow I will have a new prototype, which me and Jamie talked about Nintendo question. You may remember I interviewed Rob and Jay earlier this year, and now we get to find out, well, what the hell happens in that. So me and Jamie share kind of a review and a discussion about the movie as well. And then finally, I will have a rad on Sunday, likely on Rock Band 4. I'm just finishing it up now. And I gotta say, I'm not thrilled. But we'll talk about that. So anyway, guys, like I said, hopefully you guys will have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Have a piece of turkey for me, because clearly I need it. And also, yes, for Terrible Warriors, I forgot to mention, the Mass Effect game has finally been recorded. I'm gonna edit that probably this weekend. Look for that in probably about a month or so. So yeah. Anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard, and happy Canadian Thanksgiving to all you crazy Canucks out there.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are
you?
Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.